Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. All right, so here we are. Wednesday night or afternoon, depending on what part of the world you're in. And if you are listening, welcome to the Journey 8. And I'm Reverend Hosner, and we're going to hopefully have some fun tonight. So how we usually do this thing is we usually start by having announcements. What has happened? Well, I was out last week. So, I suppose we should start with the one that we always start with, and that is coming up very soon, and that is a young lady by the name of Jen Fitz, who is planning a trip to Africa, Mozambique, Africa. And at Mozambique, Africa, she is going to spend some time with some children at an orphanage. So what we've done, or what she's done, is she has set up a GoFundMe account. And if any of you know what GoFundMe is, it's a website where you can donate to people who have a cause or who's, you know, trying to scrape together money. She has to pay her own way there, $3,000. When she's there, everything's fine. That's what I understand. Now, here's the deal. We made a commitment, we being the Journey 8 family, to try and help her. So I'm asking you to donate a day's worth of a lunch or something. And whatever, and take a brown bag for a change. You can find her site by two different ways. Either going to my main homepage, which is www.closerwalkwithyou, and on that website will be information, or you can just go to the GoFundMe website and find her there. Jen Phipps, P-H-I-P-P-S. If you run a search on that, you will find her her little autobiography and all the reasons why she's going to Mozambique. So that's announcement number one, and it is coming up in October. I believe the second or third week of October is when she's planning on going. So we don't have much time to build that fund up for her. Now, I'm going through, a little bit unprepared tonight, going through my list of announcements from the past. And number two, of course, is my Christmas album, still on track, even though I've been ill. We're still looking at a November 20th release date. I'm going to work double time this week to finish the last few songs and get them off to CD Baby so we can hopefully have a Christmas album for you. Now, how do you do that? Oh, there I go. See? I just killed the stapler. Yikes. How do you get the Christmas album? Well, I'm glad you asked. Two different ways. You can either go through, I believe you're going to be on iTunes or CD Baby. And or you can go to my website and find out how you can get it direct. Either way, I believe the cost is $9.99 or something like that, $10. And we usually try to stay on track. So I'm hoping November 20th, which is the week before Advent, that Thanksgiving time, that it will be there. And it's called Peace after the second candle in the Advent wreath. So that's that. Let me take 1 second here, and there's going to be a pause, and we can be quite real while I try to find what I'm looking for. The third announcement has always been the third announcement, and that is, look at that. Okay, I'm sorry. That is the trivia contest. Now, I have not, I'll be honest with you, posted a trivia contest this last week because I was sick. However, there are two or three games up there, and play them. I'm not sure how many of you have played since before I was in the hospital. I didn't get a chance to check. But if you want to play Bible trivia, the website is called PurposeGames.com, PURPOSEGames.com, and in there you will find, excuse me, 1 second, I clear my throat. You will find a place where you can search on the Journey 8 and find us and play some of the trivia games. I'll try and get up another one before next week, next Wednesday. And eventually I'm going to put together a tournament where you guys can play against each other. And I don't know, we'll have a box of devil dogs or something for the winner. I'm not sure what. We'll figure out something though. All right. So I think we're probably, one more announcement. And that is the Journey 8, for those of you who keep asking me, is not a church or a structure. The Journey 8 is me and a few other close people. And it is strictly a grassroots, evangelical, ecumenical, and all the other words, ministry. We're here. We started as a Lenten group back in March, and it turned into a radio broadcast, which we've had a lot of very good response. People actually like us. I don't know. Maybe it's not me. Well, maybe it is. But the bottom line is that we've decided to keep it going. I'm keeping it going for as long as I can think of sermons to give you, which might be a while. In the meantime, I'm going to ask that some of you give me a response as to what you're thinking. What's, is there something special you want me to talk to you about? Is there some kind of burning issue with the Bible that you have? A lot of people are kind of afraid to ask their own pastor questions, so I can be your pseudo stepped-in, stepped-on pastor. And so please feel free to send me an email, it's Rev Judy, R-E-V-J-U-D-Y, at Closer Walk With You. Closer Walk With You is the basic website that I use for everything related to the Journey 8. So you'll find all kinds of pieces of information. It's being restructured right now. But either way, you can find information, and that's where you will find information about the upcoming stuff. There's all kinds of Christmas stuff being planned. And we're here in North Carolina, which is another question somebody asked me. Where is my church? The church I belong to is in a city called Burlington, North Carolina. It is life's journey, United Church of Christ. And you are always welcome, if you're in the area, to drop in and say hello. And we have a wonderful pastor. I am not the pastor. I'm just a member studying to change my ordination over to the United Church of Christ. So come and visit us if you're in the Burlington area. We will, from time to time, have announcements. If you are a local Greensboro nonprofit, meaning church or other social type of free type ministry, we would love to make announcements for you. If you have an announcement of an upcoming garage sale or whatever, we'll give you a couple minutes of free time. No problem. Send me an email at least 7 days in advance so that I can, move it in with everything. And, we'll give you a little push. Not a problem. That's basically the whole idea of the Journey 8. All right, so let's get on and talk about what the sermon's going to be, or the lesson tonight. And it's actually a spin-off, my sermon Sunday morning at church. I'm stepping in for our pastor and delivering a message. So I thought, for all of you who can't make it to church, I mean, if you're in China or Australia, I guess it would be a little hard to come over to Burlington. So I thought, what the heck, I would use this for tonight. I had something else for tonight, but I thought, I'm going to do this. So tonight, we're going to, as soon as I can get my iPad to operate, we're going to talk about the words we use. Now, here's the thing. If you give me just 1 second, I came running in the door. Usually I'm an hour ahead of time getting all kinds of things ready. I came sliding in the door sideways, running and sliding in the door sideways today, about 10 minutes before the show went on. So if I seem a little distracted, it's because what? I'm trying to find all my notes. And my computer is definitely hiding things from me. I feel like I'm being tempted here to say bad words, but that's not true. All right, so here it is. The words we use. And I'm going to say, before we get started, a lot of people think that when I pull messages together, I'm pointing fingers at them, or there's a personal kind of thing happening. And I want to reassure you that that doesn't happen. It just happens to be when the God phone rings, this is what I write. So please, if you think I'm pointing at you, maybe it's because the sermon is what you should be hearing. So tonight, I am going to be preaching from the book of Psalms, King David. Yeah, it's a wonderful book. Psalms meaning songs. And we're going to be Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14. And let me tell you, this is one of my all-time favorite passages. It is a song or two, I think. There's been many songs written from this scripture. And it is definitely one of my favorites. So before we do that, and all you new people will know this eventually, I have a safety warning. And it goes something like this. Before I read the scripture tonight, let's repeat the safety warning together. Ready? All bus drivers, pilots, crane operators, train engineers, and anyone with a small bouncy dog in the front seat, please wait until you get home before looking up the scripture. All others, crack open your Bibles, Kindles, iPads, iPods, iPhones, smartphones, dumb phones, and turn to Psalm 19, 7 through 14. And we will take it away. Here we go. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the law of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eye. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm. Yeah, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold and sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Yeah. Like I said, there's about 100 songs that have been written about this passage. So here we go. The words we use. Tonight, I want to speak to you about words. Yeah. Words that come from the heart and words that do not. I want us today to know more clearly what God says about the words we speak and how He expects us to use language that lifts our brothers and sisters up, and in doing so, reflects on His image, not ours. It is not about us. Some people say that words are just that, words. And the damage they can do is limited by the physical power someone has. Like a bully. So without the sword, words are nothing in their opinion. You know, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not. Here's what I believe. No mightier sword is there than the one that is thrown straight for the heart by an unkind word. I say that a kingdom can fall at the sound of a horn and a word spoken in truth with God and angels echoing that awe, just like the walls of Jericho. I believe there is no more fragrant and beautiful flower than the one given with the words, I love you. Words are not meant to be thrown in aimless anger or irreverent self-righteousness. Remember, the words you use as weapons today may be the poison you have to drink tomorrow. As we read in Psalms 19:13, David is asking God for protection, basically from himself. Keep your servant also from willful sins, willful words. May they not rule over me. How many people do you know that are ruled by their words in anger and in passion? Words that don't serve God in any way. The reality is, if God felt words were not powerful, this song of David's would never have been written, and the Bible would be a book full of empty pages. You know, the words we use don't always have the effect that we intend. Sometimes words meant to spur people on towards action backfire and fall on deaf ears. And before you know it, all progress is halted when God's people and brave hearts are frozen in fear. Frozen. That is Tyler's feeling, in case you didn't know. And it's called confusion, chaos, like the Tower of Babel. Sometimes the words we use to try and encourage others are interpreted as belittling or condescending. It's called insecurity, fear, and again, our progress is halted, especially when two nations talk and talk, and one feels the other is oppressing. Yes, all progress is halted. And finally, on the other occasions, when we don't know what words to say, we choose words that end up doing more harm than good. Silence is always the best when words can't be found, because God works in many ways during silence between us. Don't be afraid of the quiet way to speak. God will lead you. You know, these are mistakes that all of us make because we're human. We're not perfect. Even with the best intentions, we will still mess up. And we'll choose the wrong words from time to time. I'm sure God is not so concerned with the accidental misunderstandings between two people. His view is bigger than that. I believe his focus is much deeper than that. When you read today's scripture, note, David is in the midst of telling us the glory of the laws and commandments of the Lord. God's words. Yeah, look at all the descriptors that he used when writing this psalm. First we have, right at the top, the law of the Lord is perfect. Perfect. That says it all pretty much. And is very visual for me. I see Moses being handed the Ten Commandments every time that sentence is read. And I feel like there's a reason for that. Those are God's words written with his own hand. And as we go down through the verses, we see God's words are described as sure and right, pure, true, to be desired more than gold. Yeah, to be desired more than gold, and sweeter than honey. Wow. So it's important for us to notice the link between the words of our mouth and the words of God. because the only way our words and thoughts will be pleasing to God is if they're in accordance with His guidelines. Ka wants us to speak the same language. That's all. He wants us to speak the same language. I want to take a few moments to look at two other scriptures in the Bible that expand on the Song of David and give us direction concerning the things we should be saying or should not be saying, and a frame of mind we should use them with. I've picked two, but as you can imagine, there are many more. So we're going to start with the book of Ephesians, New Testament, and the book of Ephesians, written by Apostle Paul, is a wonderful letter. If you haven't read that book, it's really one of the better ones. I shouldn't say that, the whole Bible. It's a wonderful letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus, which today would be western banks of Turkey. And he's writing to them because they've been misbehaving, haughty, naughty behavior. They've been displaying how they've missed the mark. You know, the reality is Paul, the Apostle Paul, spent more time going to the four main churches that he founded and teaching people over and over how to be good Christians. Spent more time doing that than founding new churches or founding new churches. And it was kind of frustrating for him because he was one of the original evangelists. That was him. So here he is writing a letter to the church in Ephesus and saying, chapter 4, verse 29, "Do not let any corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Well, that's pretty straightforward. Basically saying, hey guys, straighten up. All the same for us to think about the words we use on a day-to-day basis. You know, good behavior does not happen on Sunday morning from 9 to 11 or whatever time your church meets. Good behavior is something you practice every day. So what kind of attitude is being displayed when you speak to others? Are the words you use on a regular basis undignified? Or as one translation of this scripture says, unwholesome? When you use your words to put others down and criticize them, or when we use our words out of anger, we aren't doing ourselves or anyone else any favors. We're leaving the door wide open for the enemy to come in and throw discord and dislike between us. Yeah. It's especially important that we notice the last half of this verse, which says, I'm sorry, my iPad is doing weird things. Notice the last half of this verse. Not only does Apostle Paul instruct us to avoid using words that are corrupt, he says we should only use words that benefit those who hear them. Now, it would be a good rule of thumb for us to consider whether or not what we're about to say is going to give grace to those who hear it. You may be directing your words and your expressions to a single person, a specific person, but God uses your words on a much broader scale. So what you say and do may impact many people you don't even take into account. Why? Because they heard your words. They may have been sitting in the next row or standing nearby. Did they hear grace or disgrace? There's a poem written by an anonymous author that I keep in my Bible and I've kept in my Bible for years. And I go to it now and then when I need to remember what I'm about to say. And it goes something like this. When you are disposed to criticize a friend, just remember the beginnings, not the end. When within this urge you find, these three questions bring to mind. Is it true? Is it needful? Is it kind? How many times do we say things that don't fall into these categories? Is it true? Is it needful? Is it kind? Or are you about ready to cut somebody off? Yeah. Which brings me to the second passage for tonight that complements or goes hand in hand with Psalm 19. And this is the book of James, chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. James was the brother of Jesus, and he was the ultimate teacher of being a good Christian, for sure. Paul, was the one that wrote letters and set standards and so on and so forth. It was James that would go in and say, now let me take your hand and walk. Step one, step two, step three, and so on. Yeah, James. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, it should not be. So here's James saying step one, step two, step three. Don't use the same tongue that you to praise God and turn around and curse everyone in the room. Now, I know this doesn't apply to anybody listening tonight, but you know somebody who needs this lesson. Yeah, this chapter in James is a lengthy section concerning the taming of the tongue. You know, it goes into great detail. Yeah. Listen, these are really things you need to watch. Well, especially want us to focus on what James says here. How can we ever expect our words of our mouth to be acceptable? God, if we're what? Using him to bring down his children. One of the biggest downfalls that we allow ourselves to fall into with our tongues is gossip. Oh yeah. Gossip falls right in this category. The not so quiet and deadly curse of anyone's honor and poor display of Christian behavior. Now I think we all understand that there's times when you and I are going to talk about someone and or their life. And that's not gossip if it's positive. It's because you care for someone, So the question then comes, what is gossip? And what is basically conversation? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. Yeah, I can see all those hands being risen, raised. Rose, hey, I'll take all those. Here we go. How do you tell what's gossip and what's not? There's two easy criteria, shall we say. I believe that James and Paul have given us a few tools here. Let's take it a step further. The first thing you should do to determine what you're about to say is gossip or not is very simple. What is the accuracy the what you're about to say. Like the poem mentioned. What is the accuracy? If there's even the slightest doubt in your mind that what you're about to share is true, then you should stop where you are. Do not go any further. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Yes. Stop. Right there. And the second point or criteria should be to determine what your motive for saying is. Even if the story or piece of information you're about to say is 100% true, what's your motive for saying it? Yeah. Is your motive to hurt the person, to taint their reputation, or just because you want to be the first one to share that juicy news about your community? And your motives are impure and unacceptable. Stop where you are. Do not pass, though. Do not collect $200. If you have to begin a sentence with the phrase, "Well, I don't want to gossip, but," or "I wasn't going to say anything, but," then chances are you shouldn't finish that sentence. When you choose to continue, you're choosing to disobey God, and a piece of your integrity just went right down the line. Stop where you are. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Pass. Now, I can't tell you how many times I've had people come to me as a reverend, preacher, deacon, whatever you want to call me. Don't call me late. Sundays. Anyway, I had them come to me and say, "Reverend Judy, I need to tell you blah, 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 blah." And before they can get three more sentences out, I look at them and say, "Is this really information that I want to know? I mean, is it true? Is it kind? Are you just trying to get me on your side?" You know, and some people get very taken back by that. Some people just look at me and say, "Well, I know." And then they walk away. Well, walking away tells me now they do. So, for those of you who have not been personally attacked, had your name wiped all over, and come back from it. Trust me, gossip is deadlier than the worst poison out there. And when it spreads, it's like wildfire. It burns lives, destroys people. So, my advice to you is that you think about what you're going to say, because like I said earlier, the words you use as weapons today may be the poison you have to drink tomorrow. You know, saying "I'm sorry," eating the poison you have to drink tomorrow. Not always do you get away with that kind of behavior. And when caught in the act, you will be ruined. You know, television is a great medium. Radio is a great medium. I am all for it. I'm all for free radio, America, whatever. Transmit words, have freedom of speech. But not at your rhythm impinge or come between someone else's. Gossip kills reputations. You know? So, you know, I hope today or tonight, this morning, whatever time it is where you are, my hope is that this lesson gives you a new tool, a clearer understanding what God expects of us. I mean, it should be apparent by now what kind of words should be used. Come on. You know, words that you should be using and shouldn't. You know, your mother tracing you around and wash your mouth out. So, if you say that word again, what, Mom? Flounder? Okay. Anyway, my hope is that you take some of these words to heart and remember that words can be very encouraging and uplifting and comforting and powerful, but they can also be degrading and critical and destructive and divisive. So we must be very careful with our words. Use them as if you were speaking to Jesus or whomever you are. And find a gentle and loving way to help others. You know, respect the place others are coming from. Because if a person is different from you, not any less than you. This means tall and short and young and old and gay and straight and so on and so forth. Because they are different from you, they are no less than you. Every human being on the face of this earth was created by God in the image of God. Black, white, yellow, green, purple, green, purple. Are the green, purple, maybe. So it is not on our place to give people tongue lashing, shall we say, beat them up with words, degrade them. I don't think that's a cool place to be. And if that's how you obtain power, move through life, understand that sooner or later, yeah, karma's gonna happen. And you will be drinking poison from the words you say to someone in the world. So, why do that to yourself and to others? You know, we make up God's finest soup. And he weaves it into wonderful and beautiful creations, us. And the colors of the silk are many. And so each of us has a place and a time on this earth. Well, I'm not focused on spending it hurting other people any more than I want to be. And I'm not going to spend it beating you over the head with a Bible, although I'm here to do a certain job. What I believe transcends many different things, religions. You know, I believe that we all have a place on this earth. And we all have a job to do. And that job never should include hurting another human being. It shouldn't. And if nations knew that, and I found it, how much better it would be for the individuals in those nations. We're lucky here in America. I'm not here because I can get on the radio and speak to you without anyone censoring my words per se. I censor my words. And I try to give you somewhere to land when you fall. Now, that's the sermon, the message, whatever you want to call it, the lesson. I'm going to end with something that I usually begin with, and that is, you are free to contact me at any time at my email address, RevJudy@CloserWalkWithYou. On that webpage, www.CloserWalkWithYou.com, is other contact information for me. There's a section on smoke signals. There's a section on telegraph and telephone. There's a section on, there are other contacts information there. And we'd be glad to answer any questions you have. So, this is our first telecast. That's not the television. You can't see me. I know you can't. Now I can't see that you're sitting there in your pajamas or skivvies or whatever. So it's called radio, internet radio. See? Anyway, thank you for coming in. And we'll see you next Wednesday at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and whatever that equates to on your time. And have a blessed week.
Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.